This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and upon all those who have followed him. Honored ulama, beloved brothers and dearest listeners, last night we had commenced the surah known as Suratul A'raf. Al-A'raf meaning the heights or the high walls. A place very high that one would aim at. If we noticed the verses that I had explained last night regarding the nasiha, the advice, on one hand that of shaitan, and on the other hand, the advice of all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. It is a person's choice now that Allah has made it very clear. Where do they want to aim? Do they want to aim to the wrong advice or in that direction? And do they want to earn the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or do they want to aim very, very high and achieve greatness in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In tonight's verses, before I speak of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wassalam and the fact that he too mentioned the same points as the other Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, I'd like to draw your attention and mine to the opening verses of Suratul A'raf and at the same time some of the closing verses of the same surah because they are tied up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam a very, very valid point. And that point is a lesson for all of us. Sometimes we feel shy to recite the Quran. Sometimes we feel shy to explain to the non-Muslims some of the solid rules and regulations within the Quran. Because of lack of knowledge, we don't know how to explain to them. Sometimes when some of the non-Muslims or even the weaker Muslims come to us with queries and questions, we shy away and we hide away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforts Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He never shied. But the lesson is for all of us. Allah says in the opening verses of Suratul A'raf, Alif Lam Mim Sad, Kitabun Unzila Ilayka Fala Yakun Fi Sadrika Haraj لتنذر به وذكرى للمؤمنين. Allah opens the verses with what is known as حروف مقطعة. Those letters, separated letters. None knows the meaning besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are several reasons that some of the mufassirin have mentioned. Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions broken letters? One of the reasons is to draw the attention of the kuffar of Makkah. They've never ever heard something of that nature. And for your information, every single surah which has huruf muqatta'ah was revealed in Makkah besides Suratul Baqarah. Every single surah, if you find Hamim, Tasim Mim, Hamim Ain Sin Qaf, Kaf Haya Ain Sad, all these surahs were revealed in Makkah besides Suratul Baqarah. And this is why some of the mufassirin say that one of the reasons was to draw the attention of the kuffar. They would listen. We don't know what this means. So as they look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse. Definitely this is the book that has been revealed to you. So your heart should not at all be narrowed. Don't feel shy. Don't feel wrong. Don't feel sorry. Don't feel any point of negativity within you to warn the people with this book. You will never go wrong. It is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is challenging even the kuffar to say, find even one error in this book. You won't. So with us, we need to be happy. And we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us a solid book, His word. And that word cannot have a single element in it that is doubtful or that is incorrect. Na'udhu billah. We should not be shy to proclaim and to teach the others the rules and regulations within the Quran, because there is no mistake in the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't be shy. Don't let your heart be narrowed. Go out, explain the book, teach it, proclaim it, give the others wholeheartedly. And towards the end, obviously, as I had mentioned yesterday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of the plan of Iblis. And after the plan of Iblis, He makes mention of the nasiha that Iblis gave Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and how he entrapped Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Allah makes mention of the previous anbiya, one after the other. Allah says, after Iblis, we sent Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hawa onto earth. And thereafter, we sent reminders every little while. Nuh alayhi salam came with also nasiha. And the others all came with nasiha. And right at the end of the surah, we ended the surah tonight just before the sijda. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now that this book is very powerful, and now that we know the power of this book, He says, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. If you'd like mercy upon you, then whenever the Quran is being recited, listen to it, concentrate, try and understand it, put it into practice. This is what Allah says. If you would like mercy, then whenever the Quran is recited, you should remember that they are the verses of the Almighty, my Creator and yours, the one I am going to return to, the one you are all going to return to. So, if the verses of the Creator are being recited, leave everything else, listen, concentrate, try and understand, put into practice, and Allah will have mercy on you and on me and on everyone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us from disrespecting the Quran. Sometimes the Quran is playing as a background sound. Don't you think that is disrespect? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So this is a point connected to that first point at the beginning of the surah where Allah is saying, look, don't be shy. Proclaim, read this Quran, give it forth to the others. And then Allah is telling everyone else that when it is read, listen to it. That is the only time you will earn the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of Shaitan, right at the beginning. And here I am actually trying to show you how the beginning and the end of the surah tie up. Right at the beginning, Allah makes mention of Iblis. And Allah makes mention of how Shaitan whispers. And how he whispered to Hawa alayhi salam and Adam alayhi salam. And then at the end of the surah, after giving us all the advice and after going into the most beautiful story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, which we will dwell on tonight inshallah to extract lessons from, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end, do you know what He says? He says, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Whenever shaitan comes to you with one of his whispers, and you feel the doubt of shaitan, the whisper of shaitan, immediately seek the protection in Allah from shaitan the condemned. Say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Why does Allah mention this in the verse? Because a question might arise in the hearts of the people, that if shaitan succeeded with Adam alayhi salatu wasalam to a certain extent, and his whispers are so powerful as explained in the same surah. Allah explains that shaitan comes from the front, the back, the sides, the top, the bottom. From all directions shaitan comes. If it is so strong, helpless man, if his own forefather fell, what should he do? What should I do? What should you do? Allah says, no, don't worry. If shaitan's whispers come in your direction, all you need to do is, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Ya Allah, I seek protection in you from shaitan the condemned. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam explains that it is not enough to just utter it by tongue. You should know what you are saying and actively work towards staying away from shaitan's plan. What's the point of a person walking towards the nightclub reciting أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم all the way there? He has no intention, he doesn't know what he is doing, he is making a mock of the ta'awudh and Allah and the protection from shaitan. So this shows us that you need to have a firm intention. You need to take steps to leave shaitan's path and join that same path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Quran. So it ties up the very beginning where Iblis's story is. And at the end Allah is saying, you want protection from Iblis? You should always seek protection in me, because I am the only one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who will be able to protect you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from shaitan. Now let us move to Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. He told his people that I am an advisor to you. I am advising you. Please accept my advice. Listen to me. Do not engage in the evil that you are engaging in. Do not cheat when it comes to business. But they didn't listen. They ate haram. They cheated the people. They were only concerned about their own pockets. They were not worried how they got the money. The fact is, they just wanted that money. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then the punishment overtook them, but it was too late. And Shu'aib alayhi salatu was salam looked at them and said, was I not from amongst those who advised you? Was I not an advisor? You decided not to accept my advice, and you accepted shaitan's advice. So we need to learn from this, that in our day-to-day business, our affairs, remember, always stick to that which is straightforward, that which is permissible, that which is halal, and stay very, very clear and far from that which is haram. Because if we have haram, and if we have haram, we eat haram, we live haram, we are only interested in earning more, more and more without looking at whether it's halal or haram, Allah will snatch away the barakah. And when the barakah is gone, we are cursing ourselves. If I curse myself, or if a person curses himself, do you not think his entire reproductive system or hers is also cursed? If the reproductive system is cursed, the product of, or after the use of that reproductive system, the product that comes about is also cursed. So we are cursing our offspring, and if they are cursed, is there any hope for the generations to come? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us halal sustenance. If you read the plot and the plans of some of the people of the book, they are planning that we should not be bothered about halal and haram. Because they have read in their own books that regarding the Muslimin, if you would like to win over them, ensure that what goes into their mouths is nowhere near halal. Because even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that if what goes into your mouth is haram, then Allah stops answering your du'as. We know the hadith, I said it yesterday. مَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ مَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ غُذِّيَ بِالْحَرَامِ فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. His clothing is haram, his food is haram, everything is haram, he's being fed, his flesh has grown with haram. Allah says, how can I answer someone like that when they are making a dua? So today you find the ummah is crying. So many du'as are being made. There is a chance, a possibility, that possibly we might all be infested either with interest, money, which is haram, money from the lotteries, halal, haram food, we might not be bothered, we might not even know, we might not even be taking precautions. This is something extremely dangerous. Because the detriment is not only against ourselves, but the future of the Muslim ummah. The ummah will definitely be alive forever, because Allah will protect the ummah. But who says that our offspring is going to be from amongst the ummah? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep them from amongst the ummah. How many people, their children are lost. Not only children, their children, grandchildren and so on, have become enemies of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. Remember, be careful what goes into your mouth. And be careful what comes out of your mouth as well. Both of those play a very big role in your offspring and mine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really and truly assist us all. Remember, these announcements, we have to make them. That is why we are making them. But they eat part of our time, so it should also be a learning process, inshallah, that at times we make a mistake. The bigger reward is for the one who can go up, apologize, move his motor vehicle, not feel bad, come back and sit on the same spot, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all benefit. Then we have the story, the most beautiful story. And this story is the most repeated story in the Quran. And as I mentioned yesterday, every time a story is repeated in the Quran, the highlight is something else. Meaning the main point of highlighting is a different point every single time. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's story is the story that is repeated so many times in the Quran. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of it. Can I inform you? If you are to study the life of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, every single one of us, there are so many aspects from the life and the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that fit like a jigsaw puzzle in our own lives. Every single one of us. We are either part of a mosaic force, Firaunic force, or part of the force of the so-called magicians at the time, or we are part of the qawm and the people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and so on. Now let me explain. Firaun was a tyrant, very bad oppressor. We know that he was one of those who used to claim that he is Allah. أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى He says, I am the highest God that can ever be. And he even told his people, I have not taught you of another God besides me. I am the only God. And he oppressed people. He enslaved the people. Today, in every home, in every society, in every community, in every country, in every continent and on a global level, there are Fir'auns. And this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's statement. He says, for every nation there is a Fir'aun. And the Fir'aun of my time is Abu Jahl. The Fir'aun of the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Abu Jahl. But do you know what is the good news? Allah says, or in fact, we are taught, it's not a verse of the Quran, but we are taught that there is a Musa for every Fir'aun. So wherever there is a Fir'aun, there is also a mosaic force, if I can call it that. There is a Musa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates. So if you have, for example, the Fir'aun of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, if he was Abu Jahl, then who was the Musa? It was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, who stood up to challenge the tyrant, who stood up in the face of this oppression, and who said no to oppression. And even though it took many years, but the solution came, didn't it? The same way the solution came at the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam himself. So Fir'aun, what did he do? He oppressed for a long period of time. The people were being butchered and slaughtered, and the people could not say anything because nobody had the guts to utter even one word against the superpower of the time, Fir'aun. Pharaoh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Until one day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to send someone. And this person happened to be Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. A fortune teller had already predicted this and told Fir'aun that look, there is going to come a man who is going to take away whatever you've got. But Allah hatched a plan, and the plan of Allah always works. We all have heard the verse. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ They plan and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planners. The plan of Allah will always succeed and will always be victorious. So, what had happened at the time? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was looked after in the same house that he was going to destroy some time later. And there were cracks within the family of Fir'aun. His own wife knew that he was a liar. He was a tyrant. What did his wife say? His wife made a dua. And I told you that every time the story is repeated for different reasons. So, there is a place in the Quran where the story is mentioned in order to highlight the dua of the wife of Fir'aun, where she says, رَبِّ بِنِي لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ Oh Allah, build for me, very close to you, a house in Jannah, and save me from Fir'aun and from all his dirty activity. Imagine, the wife is saying this about the husband. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. So, there were cracks within the home. She looked after this young boy. And she always uttered statements to say, he is a sweet boy, he is a good boy, let's look after him and so on. I'm sure we are aware of the plan of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him back to his own mother. Inshallah, one day, if Allah gives us life and the memory, we will bring back that story when it is mentioned in Surah Al-Qasas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that. So what had happened is, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was brought up. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah told him to go back to Fir'aun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to warn Fir'aun very clearly, very strictly, and tell him, listen, what you are engaged in is oppression. Be careful or you shall be destroyed. The confidence in which Musa and his brother Harun alayhi salam spoke, Fir'aun was shaken. He didn't know. He had the capacity of destroying these people immediately, ordering their execution. He had that capacity. But But he couldn't do it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salatu wa salam that I am with you and I will assist you directly. Go forth, speak to him, tell him enough is enough. And from this we all have to learn. And I want to draw it back. Ask ourselves, are we the Fir'aun of our families? Sometimes it can be. If we are, we better make amends. Because there will be a Musa who will stand up. At times, that Musa might not be in the form of a person, but in the form of a huge car accident which will wake us up. It's possible. Are we the Fir'aun in our own community? That's a question. Because if we are, it is time we took heed from the story. To say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends messengers. And here Allah is saying that I sent a messenger to Fir'aun. There is a lesson for everyone from it. What is that lesson? The lesson is, I must ask myself, am I a pain in somebody else's life? Why am I doing that? They might be making du'as, cursing me day and night. Do you think those du'as are going to go unheard? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. Now let's move back. So when Musa alayhi salatu wa salam spoke to Fir'aun, the sign came, it was very clear. He felt very threatened. You know, it reminds me of a powerful person, rich, powerful person, whom when someone tells him, brother, you know what, you are eating interest. And he rolls up his sleeves. Who do you think you are? I'll fire you from this masjid. It's mine. And so on. I hope this hasn't happened, because honestly speaking, I'm just mentioning it off the cuff. So, they begin to threaten. Threaten who? The Musa that Allah sent to them, maybe in the form of a Mawlana in the masjid. That is a warning. Allah sent Musa to a Fir'aun. But we didn't ever understand and we didn't ever look at it that way to say this person has come to me. To take me out of the darkness or the darknesses and to put me into the light. And I am fighting him the same way Fir'aun fought Musa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. We need to look at it. The person's come to us with news. So Fir'aun stood up and he says, listen, what signs have you brought? What makes you better than me? What makes you better than me? So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, look, I have signs. The first is this particular stick of mine. As he threw it, it looked like a snake. It became a snake, in fact. And then showed him his hand, which shone very, very bright. So Fir'aun says, I can bring something very similar to that. Let us create a day. Now he was happy because he knew he had seen magicians operating in the past. So he set a date. What date should we set? Let us set the great date where everybody comes out. It was like a day of Eid. The whole nation must witness what is going on. Now, what did Fir'aun do? Listen, this is the same thing that either we do or members of our community do. Fir'aun went away after setting the date and he began to drum up support. And to con the people, to say, you know what, I will give you this, I will give you wealth, I will give you economy, I will give you whatever. I will make sure you are powerful, I will make you one of my close people. The Quran makes mention of it. I will make you very close. Go and learn this magic and make sure that you beat this man in public. And we will prove that we are higher than him, then all of you will be my ministers. This is mentioned in the Quran. And the beauty is, it's also mentioned in the Bible, in the Old Testament. So, after drumming up support, twisting innocent people, these magicians were totally innocent at the time. They didn't know, they only knew that this Fir'aun is a very, very dangerous person, very high, very lofty, very serious. And what they did is, they listened to him. And they came on the day, subhanallah, there were two parties. The party of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was made up of very few people, almost nil. Because they didn't want to show that we are on the side of this person, just in case. They had to keep quiet. They had to remain silent. Even the magicians, they had huge crowds in their support. All people were supporting Fir'aun and the magicians. And this shows us that majority at times does not necessarily display that which is correct. Sometimes the majority is on the wrong side. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. So, they threw the sticks. In fact, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam advised them to throw the sticks. They threw the sticks and everyone was cheering them on, saying that yes, these things have become serpents and snakes and so on, these ropes and sticks. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was inspired by Allah. Revelation came down to say, throw it, do not fear. You will be the one who will be victorious today. And as he threw the stick And as his stick ate up all the other ropes and sticks that were looking like snakes, what did the magicians do? The iman that entered the hearts of those magicians was so solid that immediately after that, they fell prostrate, and when Fir'aun threatened them once again, warning them of executing them in public, they said, no problem, execute us. What we've seen today is we have full yaqeen that this is the truth and nothing will change our mind. Imagine the people who were brought by this tyrant in order to fight on his side against the weaker army. When they saw the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they, within split seconds, they swapped sides. The question is with us. Sometimes we are used by people. They twist us, they turn us. But Allah shows us the light to say, you know what? What you've been uttering was wrong. What you've been saying was wrong. What you've been doing was wrong. You've been harming people. You've been hurting members of your own family, members of your community, your society, your country, and so on. You've been speaking about A, B, and C. And Allah sends these signs. But the question is, can we even learn from these magicians to say, when a sign comes to us, does our iman become strong? Do we give up the mischief we've been involved in for so many years? Or do we still engage in that mischief? It is something we need to think of. Look at this. It is a story that's repeated in the Quran so many times. Look at what we've extracted from it today. Each one of us, our own lives, very clearly is reflected in the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Then, what happened after being threatened? And they were threatened again and again. They became part of the strongest force with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his brother. According to one narration, they were not even Banu Israel. They were Coptics. And they were what we would name today reverts or converts. They were not even from the original Banu Israel. Because Banu Israel was on the side of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So the others who had turned into Islam at the time were stronger Muslims than even the pure born Muslims. Isn't that the case today as well sometimes? We find the born Muslims do not appreciate the rules of Islam. But those who have turned after they have seen the darkness, they become more powerful Muslims. This is an open call for myself, for yourselves, in this beautiful, blessed month of Ramadan, to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To take steps towards the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm calling upon myself firstly, and then everyone, male and female. If there is anything good we are planning to do, execute it in this month of Ramadan. And if there is anything evil we are planning to do, delete it and cancel it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this blessed month of Ramadan. And plan to achieve the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us all success. So, inshallah, as the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Fir'aun is repeated in the Quran, so we shall extract more and more lessons inshallah. But today, I'd like to inform you of the fact that this nasiha, the point of nasiha in Suratul A'raf, is highlighted even in the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. How? One might ask. The answer is, Fir'aun advised who? Fir'aun advised the magicians with advice. He says, I'm advising you to be on my side. It is my advice, my command in fact. But when they saw the light, they understood that that Fir'aunic advice was satanic advice. And they fell immediately for the correct advice and for the following of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, on the other hand, advised his people, and the Quran mentions it in the verses we read tonight. Banu Israel was also advised. So many pieces of advice. And Allah shows us very carefully, step by step, every piece of advice that was given by the Nabi, Musa alayhi salam. Wherever his people followed it, they were immediately successful. And wherever they even questioned it, they suffered because of their questioning of the heavenly advice. Now the question is for us. We have heavenly advice. We have the Quran. We have the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have the entire deen in front of us. How many of us are ready to accept the commands of deen wholesale and to adopt them without questioning them? Here the Quran is showing us anyone who questioned it in the past, this is what they received in return. Do we think that by us questioning it, we are going to be somehow exempt from the same punishment? When those who were punished were stronger than us, they built the pyramids. Today, even if we bring forth all the advancement and the tools of the age, we would not be able to produce even one pyramid like that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all understanding. So that is man. As we develop, so we also take steps backwards. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not do that to us. And I'd like to end with a final point for tonight. Very, very interesting point also. Not connected to the story of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of categories of people. He says, after he speaks, and I'm not going to read the entire verse, I'll just read the portion of it. He says,
أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ.
He is describing people who have been created for Jahannam. People who have been created for Jahannam, whose hearts cannot understand, whose eyes cannot see, whose ears cannot hear, because they don't have the correct heart. Look, the heart is closely connected to the brain and the mind. Allah says they have hearts through which they do not understand. That means the heart plays a role in understanding. How? The doctors here would probably say, no, this man doesn't know what he is speaking about. How can one understand from his heart? The truth is, when the Quran says understanding is connected to the heart, it is definitely connected to the heart as well. So the brain would probably take it in, but depending on the sincerity in the heart, that particular statement might make sense or may not make sense. Today, if you come up with an Islamic ruling, if the heart is sincere, the mind, it will become easy for the mind to understand what Allah is trying to say. But when the heart has a question mark, it is not sincere, it is turning, it is not content, automatically even the most clear of signs of Allah, people will say, no, I don't seem to understand this, because there is a problem with the heart. That is why in Islam, we deal with the purification of the heart, and we give it so much importance. There is an entire category, an entire section of this deen, known as tasawwuf, whereby the specialists would cleanse all our hearts for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleanse them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of such people. And Allah says, there are three categories of people. First are human beings. Human beings who are living as human beings. Those are the people who've allowed rules and regulations to govern them. Those are the people who've allowed strict rules and regulations to govern them, and they would be following strictly the rules and regulations whether it suited them or not. Those are the human beings of the highest level. Those are true human beings. May Allah make us from amongst them. We have Islam, we have the rules, we have the regulations, and if we adopt them, we become beautiful human beings. Not perfect, but at least quite close to that. The more we adopt the rules and regulations of Islam, the closer we get to that particular point. Because Islam teaches us how to live with the non-Muslims, with the neighbors, with everyone, absolutely everyone, to make peace with your creator, to make peace with yourself and with everyone else. Even with animals and plants and the ecosystem and everything. So that is the first category. The second category, Allah says, they are like animals. For your information, yes, that category is unacceptable, but they are not as bad as the third category. Because, and let me tell you why, if a person is exactly like an animal, he will never be a homosexual, he will never be a gay, he will never drink, because animals don't intoxicate themselves. Have we ever thought of this? Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. They are like animals. Then Allah says, hang on, بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. There is a category of them who are even worse than animals. That divides them into two categories. Those like animals are human beings who do not trample over the rights of other human beings. When have you seen a cow engaging in homosexuality? Astaghfirullah. A pig. May Allah save us all. No. So Allah says, even if people are like animals, there will be certain things they won't engage in. Then Allah says, nay, they are worse than animals. That is the third category of people. The third category. First is human beings. They engage, they have a lot of strict rules and regulations governing them. Then there are those who are exactly like animals. No rules, no regulations, nothing. They are as free as an animal. And when we say the word freedom, if freedom is understood how a cow and a pig and a horse and a donkey understand it, we would have less problems on earth today. Let's think about it. If the word freedom is understood through nature, and naturally, absolutely, an animal's understanding of the word freedom, we wouldn't have gays and lesbians. I hope we could agree. I know this is a country that permits it, but we are speaking here of the Islamic ruling. And we are speaking here of Islam. And we are speaking here something that even they themselves cannot question. because it is proven, it is a fact of life. Then again, it's freedom of speech. So, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. We have, if we are to understand it like animals, still it's not as bad. But Allah says that there are people, and only human beings of that low level could ever think of actually going beyond and below the level of an animal. Allah says those are worse than animals. The things they think up, even the animals are shy. Even the worst animal, the pig that has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, becomes shy of some of the actions of some of these people who claim to be human beings, and yet they have fallen prey to the word freedom, which has been used in today's terminology to con people to become worse than even animals. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard our children. May He safeguard us. May He safeguard us all from alcohol, from engaging in any form of activity that is unbecoming of a Muslim. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard our offspring also from adopting anything that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallahi bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.